we get into the message, that we take a time, just some time to pray. We've got some people in our church who either are sick or have relatives that are sick, and we haven't taken time in quite a while, I think, in a service to actually just to take time and pray. So as I pray, and when people come to your mind, you'll be able to pray for them as well. But we want to remember Francette. Just talking to Bruce this morning again, and she's got a cold. She's come down with a cold over the season, and so it's just it's got to be very hard for her. I know it's been so long since she's actually been able to attend here at the church, and even after the operation, the knee replacement, there's still, I don't think the leg is healing as well. So we need to continue to pray for her, and also for Bruce. Continue to pray for, I think he's got some operations on his hands to remove some of the skin cancer, I believe. So we want to keep them in prayer. Neil Bullock, I was in the bulletin the last couple of weeks. He was a long-time Bridletown attendee and member who's become a missionary and moved on to serve in the Toronto area. He is very ill, and we want to keep him in prayer. And there's others. I know the Wismer, Stan's dad, his health has deteriorated. So we just want to keep them in prayer. And so why don't we just take some time right now? So there'll just be some silent time at the beginning, where whoever the Lord brings to your mind to pray for, you can do that. And then I'll just lead us through praying for some of those that have been mentioned here. And then I'll also just pray for some of the ministries that we're doing as a church. This is a good time to, as we go into the new year, to just recommit the ministries that we are doing at Bridletown, and just that the Lord can continue to bless us in the ministries that we're doing, and also that he would continue to provide volunteers to be able to do those ministries. So let's just take some time to pray silently, and then I'll lead in a few minutes. We know that you are the great healer, the physician, and we know that those that are sick, that you have complete power to be able to heal them. And it's so frustrating at times for us to sit back and to wonder why, even though we've been praying for so long for certain people, that you're not healing them. But Lord, we want to just know that we trust in you, and we know that you are in control. And Lord, we pray for those that are sick in our church right now, and we want to remember Neil Bullock. And we just thank you for the ministry that he has had, and he's been such a servant of you. And Lord, we pray that you would help him with the pain that he is in right now. Just give him a sense of peace and a sense of comfort. And we pray for Maureen as well, that you would as well just come alongside and give her a sense of peace, and that she would be able to comfort Neil. And Lord, it's really in your hands right now, and we would just pray that you would, if it's your will, that you would just completely heal him, and that he would continue to be able to serve you. But if not, Lord, that you would just give him a sense of peace, knowing that you are in control. And we pray for Francette and for Bruce, and Lord, we just ask that you would again just draw them close to you and give them a sense of comfort. And for Francette, Lord, it's been so long that she's been able to come and worship with us, and I know that she longs to be able to come here. And so be with the doctors as they try to figure out why the leg isn't healing as well. And Lord, even now with the cold that she has, that you would just help her to get over that, and the medication that she's taking, Lord, that it would be able to heal her a lot quicker. And we would love that in 2013 we would be able to start seeing Francette attending this church once again, and just be able to be part of our fellowship. We pray for the Wismer family, and for Stan's dad. And Lord, we know that he's getting up there in years, and but it's still difficult to see a loved one suffering and not being able to do anything about it. And so Lord, we just commend that family to you, that they would draw close to you, that they would continue to pray to you for comfort and for healing. And Lord, that you would just, that they'd sense that your arms are wrapped around them, and feel your comfort at this time. Lord, as we go into a new year and we thank you for how you've blessed us in 2012, and we do look forward to 2013, and just pray for the ministries that we have ongoing at the church, and for our small groups, we pray for the ladies group and the Mandarin group, and in the small group that Mike North and Dave James are leading, and we thank you for the years of service that these people have given to you in these small groups. And we just ask, Lord, that you would continue to give them guidance as they know what to do in this coming year. Continue to give them enthusiasm and just strength to continue to serve you in that way. And we pray for those that are attending those small groups. Some of them don't attend here on Sundays. And so, Lord, we pray that they would be able to get a sense of or an understanding of you, and that they would be able to come to know you if they are not yet saved. We pray for the women's group, and thank you for the years of ministry that they have had at the church, and we just ask that you continue to be with Elaine and Jane as they lead in that group, and for the great ministries that they do in regards to the gift bags and then helping the homeless. And Lord, we just ask that you'd continue to strengthen that group, that they would continue to draw close to you, and that 2013 would be a year where, just as a group, that their ministry would be able to flourish, and that they would grow closer to you. We pray for our Sunday school, and thank you for the teachers that have been volunteering. And Lord, it's a hard task to be able to teach some of these children who have got so much energy, and Lord, just to try to make your word relevant for them. And I thank you for all those that have been volunteering from the nursery right up to the youth groups, and just ask that you would continue to give them patience, continue to give them guidance as they teach. And we pray for Gary and Margie, that you would give them wisdom as they oversee the Sunday school program in the church. And Lord, we also want to remember our summer camp that'll be coming up this year, that we'll actually be having, I think, a spring camp, which isn't too far away. And we just ask that you would start to prepare the hearts of those that will be leading in that area, and for the chance of having kids from this community come into the church here and to be ministered to. And Lord, our goal is to have not just the children coming, but also be able to get into the families and to be able to serve the families within this community. I thank you for Alan and Amy, and for the work that they've are doing with the youth, and just continue to give Alan insight into how to lead the teens. And it is an amazing thing to have 12 to 15, maybe some weeks even 20 kids who really know nothing about you from this community in this church, and being able to learn about you, to learn about you, the gift that you've given to them. And again, it can be a chaotic time, Lord, but I pray that you just give Alan patience, give him wisdom in serving these teens. And Lord, we just pray for this church, and we thank you that you are in control and that you know the future. And I pray that we just continue to seek you, seek your guidance, and seek your wisdom as we serve you in 2013. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Just need to get a drink. Yeah. Oh, there's none left. All right. Well, I Google preachers every once in a while, right? That's my theme that I like to do. And I'm very disappointed in the speaker for this week. Steve Mitten, there is nothing great on Google for Steve Mitten. There's two that are actually show up there. One is a cello player. And I don't know if you can picture me playing the cello, going to symphonies or not, but that is definitely not me. And the only other Steve Mitten mentioned is a chef from Ottawa. He graduated from the Canadian Culinary Institute of Prince Edward Island. Oh, thank you very much. And he's gone to Ottawa and has become a famous chef. He writes in Ottawa magazines. He's got a couple of restaurants on Murray Street. I have no idea where that is. He says, the type of fare is great for sharing again and again, and his restaurant is an authentic restaurant where he allows all Canadians to come in and to enjoy food and to enjoy what is Canadian. So I don't know what kind of restaurant that is, but next time I go to Ottawa, I'm going to have to go down to Murray Street and just introduce myself, and maybe I'll just even put on a chef hat as I'm there and just walk around the restaurant and say, hi, my name's Steve Mitten, and I own this restaurant. So, but nothing good. You know, every once in a while you want to have something exciting, you know, but I'll take the chef rather than the cello player. I'll let you know about that. Well, 2012 has come to an end almost. Isn't that amazing? And it's amazing how fast time flies. I don't know about you, but when I look back at the year and think about all the things that have happened, it's hard to imagine that we've come to the end. And, you know, they say the older you get, that the quicker time goes by. And I'm starting to realize that's probably true. 2013, my daughter goes into high school. I'm not liking that too much, you know, that I'm wanting to move to Greenland or something like that and just, you know, move away. And I can't believe how that she's going to be in high school. So 2013, what's going to happen for a lot of us? We don't know, do we? Some of us may be retiring next year. Some of us may be getting a new job next year. And if you look back on the previous year, so often at this time of year, we tend to contemplate the year. Oh, you know, was it a good year? Was it a bad year? What happened in this year? And what amazes me is how fast we sometimes forget about things in the past. Now, who can tell me the top story of 2011? The top three stories, let's say, that CBC picked for 2011. Hurricane, that was number five, but we're getting close. And it's amazing, I completely actually forgot about it. Number one, the tsunami that hit Japan. Right? I mean, just think of how often that was in the news. And yet, you kind of tend to forget. The next one, now this is for Canadians, right? The next one was Jack Layton. Jack Layton passed away in 2011. And all that was talked on about that. So it's hard to imagine about that. And then the third one was the assassination, or I guess the killing of Osama bin Laden. That was the third top ones that they ranked it by going onto their websites and what stories got reviewed and reviewed and reviewed. And when you think back to that and you say, okay, that was 2011. I don't remember too much about that. And you think about 2012. Anybody know what the top stories of 2012 were? Hurricane Sandy was one of them. Yep. That is a top story. That's right. Engagement. That's right. Ryan and Lydia would have the birth of their son, right, is a top story of 2012. So I don't know. I like to reminisce. I like to sit back, and at Christmas time I reminisce. At this time of year I look back, and it's like, oh, it's so nice to think about the good things and even sometimes the bad things. And oftentimes, Kim says, I reminisce way too much. Because I think one of the troubles we have when we think back is we always want things the way they were, right? When we think about Christmas, oh, I just wish that it was a white Christmas. You know, on Christmas Eve, the snow's falling. Inside the house, there's Christmas carols playing. The children are behaving as we put the gifts under the tree, and then we read the Christmas story. And the reality is that doesn't really happen that often, does it? Not in Toronto anymore. We don't get snow till now. And, our kids go back to school next week, in a week and a half, I think. And I love having the kids off, but I'm ready for them to go back. You know what I mean? It's just, you're like, okay, it's time for them to move on and get going on. So what does the Bible say? Does the Bible ever want us to think back or to reminisce on things? And it does, right? The God talks about to think on Him and to think about all His promises that He's given to us, to think about all the blessings that He's given to us in the past. But more and more, as I was just looking on to what can I say about the last message of 2012, I'm like, great, I have to be the one to give the last message of 2012. And I've got into a book that I've never actually read that much in my entire life. Haggai. Anybody know what Haggai is? Alex asked me, he says, is that book actually in the Bible? So it shows how much we go over the books of the Bible with our kids. And I'm just going to read a certain passage. So what had happened with the children of Israel were in captivity. And they had now been, the new kings have come in and said, you know what? You guys can go back. You can go back to Jerusalem. You can go back to your land. And they had been there for about 2 years. And now historians are saying that when this was written, it was getting near to the end of the of that year. And I'm reading from the Message, the translation called the Message, and it says, "O Israelites, take a good look at your life. Think it over. I say again, take a good look at your life and think it over. You have spent lots of money, but you haven't much to show for it. You keep filling your plate, but you're never filled up. You keep drinking and drinking and drinking, but you're always thirsty. You put on layer after layer of clothes, but you continue to complain and you're not able to get warm. And the people who work for you, what are they getting out of it? They're not getting much. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Take a good, hard look at your life and think it over." And if you go on into that book and read more about it, so what had happened is they had come in. They weren't in exile anymore. They were in this land, and God was prospering them. They were making money. They were doing well, but yet they had forgotten at that time. God always wanted them to build a temple, and what they had been doing is they had actually gone into this new land, and they've gone in and they completely forgot about building the temple. So all of them had great houses. Their houses were full. Their jobs, they're doing well, they're getting lots of money, but yet they were neglecting God. And if you read on further in Haggai, then he starts giving some warnings of what would happen if we don't follow God. In the New Testament, we have some in Ephesians chapter 5, if you want to go to Ephesians chapter 5, just verses 15 to 17, if you have your Bibles handy. Ephesians chapter 5 says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." And I'll just stop there. So again, we're being admonished to be very careful then how we live, not as unwise but as wise people. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. I think as we finish in 2013 and look forward, 2012 and look forward to 2013, I think we do need to take time to reflect. I'm not one to make New Year's resolutions. I'm always like, hey, if you don't make any, hey, then you get them, right? But so often we make New Year's resolutions, and most of the time, what is it if we're honest? You know, I want to spend more time with my family. I want to have a better body in 2013, which isn't a bad thing, right? You want to get in better shape. I want to actually make more money. I want to get a better job. I want to do better at my job. And those things are all great. I think it's important that we need to do that. But if I'm honest with myself, I know that as we go into the new year, so often I don't put Christ at the center of it. I don't put Him at the center of improving, of making a mark, that God would make a mark in my life in 2013. Now, scientists have actually are able to tell us what our lives will look like. So here's the thing. If you live on average of 75 years, to 77 years, I can tell you exactly what you're going to do in your life and what your life will look like. You ready for this? So we're taking 24-hour days, all right? So we will spend 3 years in school, three solid years out of the 75 in school. So that's 24 hours a day. We'll have spent 7 days eating in our life. Or 7 days, 7 years, sorry, eating in our life. Some more and some less. I think the James family, it's less. Because if you've ever gone and had a meal at the James family, they're done their meal in like 5 minutes. It's, I mean, you just sit down to eat, and I'm trying to talk, and they're like waiting because they want to eat dessert, but they don't want to be impolite. So you guys might be at like 5 years, maybe not the 7 years. But 7 years eating, we spend 14 years sleeping. That's not too bad. Some people, again, some might be more, some might be less. How many years do you think we'll spend in transportation, either going to work, being on a plane, and 20? No, maybe if you live like in LA or something. Who said 5 years? Jennifer, you're right. We spend just over 5 years, 5 years and 2 months traveling back and forth in airplanes or going to work. We will spend 5 years talking to each other. Isn't that nice? We spend more time eating than we do talking to each other in our whole life. Where else we got here? We'll spend 1 year sick or recovering from sickness. So in our 75 years of life, and these are more, they're not taking into account those that in the last years may be in a hospital and not doing well. But if we're healthy, right up to 75 years, 1 year of our life in total will be taken up by sickness. 3 years will be taken up by reading books, magazine, and newspapers. So if you're an avid reader, you're going to take up 3 years of your life. 12 years will be our amusements. So we'll spend 12 years watching TV, going to movies, and going on holidays. And all of that, when you add them up, are a total of 75 years. So it's kind of interesting. When you look at your life, is that really what you're going to want to be known for, is spending 12 years of 75 years going and just going to movies, going on vacation, spending 7 years eating? This is a Christian firm that did this study. They then polled 4,200 Christians from across North America. Now, this is only North America. And here's the sad part. 60% only attended church on Sundays and once in a while attended a small group. All right. That equals 11 months. So in your 75 years of existence, 11 months are attending church and maybe a small group. They took an average of 20 minutes a day for Bible reading, if you do your devotions every day. And they gave us the benefit of the doubt. In the survey, most people only read the Bible 3 days a week at an average of 10 to 15 minutes. So they wanted to make they probably wanted to make things look a bit better. So they added, they made it 20 minutes a day, and let's say even if we did the max at 7 days a week. So if we take that 20 minutes of devotions a day plus going to church, it would equal 2 years and 2 months. And I think that's the part that got me that's kind of sad. So out of our whole existence, 75 years, we would only be either reading the Bible, going to church. This includes volunteering, doing small groups, either attending or volunteering in a church. And it would equal 2 years and 2 months could be the max that we would be serving our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet the Bible tells us that we're to give our whole lives to Him, aren't we? We're to give everything that we have to Him. So what do we want 2013 to look like? What do we need to do to make 2013 a year where we will actually draw closer to God? And I think one of the first things we need to do is to trust Him. I mean, to really, really trust Him. Proverbs tells us, Proverbs chapter 3. I always forget that one. A lot of you have it memorized probably, but if you have your Bible, you can turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Trust in the Lord with all your heart." Here's the definition of trust. One of the definitions is, I like this, it's an assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of something or someone that you rely on. So it's an assured reliance on the character and ability, strength, or truth of God. That would be the kind of trust that we need, that we're assured that He is in control and that we can put our complete faith in Him. My nephew went down to a wedding, and he went and did, I always got to get this word right, he went into the caves. It was splunking, I think is the word. And if you've ever done this, it's where you go into caves, and all you have on is little headlamp, and you're walking around. But there's a certain point for 20 minutes where you had to get on your stomach, and literally you could feel the top of the cave on your shoulders, and you're on your stomach. And for 20 minutes, he's just crawling. And, you know, he's like, I started to panic halfway through. I'm thinking, I don't know where to go. I can't go back. And I hopefully this is going to come to an end somewhere. But the guy in front of him had been doing this for years and knew these caves really well. And he says, me, he says, I just had to put my trust in this guy that he knew where he was going and he knew what he was doing, because I had no idea what was happening. I think that's the kind of trust that we need. We need to be able to just say to God, you know what, I trust in you. And it's a hard thing, it's an easy thing to say, but isn't it so hard to do, to actually trust somebody? Because we'll trust them when times are hard, when we need something, right? Oh, I'm going to put my trust in God. I'm going to pray. I'm going to, oh, Lord, please, you know, I'm out of work. Please help me get a job. Or I'm not feeling well. I'm sick. And I really want to put my trust in you. But here's what it says. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. All of it. Trust God with your money. Trust God with your relationships. Trust God with the abilities that He's given you. God's given each and every one of us abilities to serve Him. And there's going to be times, maybe in 2013, where He's going to want you to step out. He's going to want you to volunteer for something or to help out. And we need to trust Him. That if God's calling us to do that, we need to trust Him. We need to have that assured reliance on the character. Because here's the thing. I think we tend to look at trust in a human standpoint. You know, we trust people, but so often we get hurt, don't we? They let us down. And how hard it is to put trust back into somebody once they've hurt us. But we know with God, He is perfect. He created us. He knows what's perfect for us. And we can put our trust in Him. So we need to trust in the Lord with all our heart. And lean not on our own understanding. So again, it's one thing, oh, I trust God, but when something comes up, okay, I'm going to know what I'm going to do. I've gone on vacations a lot of time with my parents. I'm sorry, I'm going to not, you know, I know they're sitting here, but it was great, because I don't think one of them trusted the other when it came to going into a new area, and they didn't know where they were going. You know, so my dad's driving, and he's like, and there's my mom, you know, Dave, do you know where you're going? I know where I'm going, Shirley. And then all of a sudden he's like, okay, Shirley, get the map out. And so she's getting the map out, and she's trying to figure out where she's going. And she's like, I think we turn off here. No, 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 we don't turn off here. I think we keep going straight. And it was so fun every single time. And we always got lost. I mean, that's why I think that's a missionary thing, you know. That's how we know the whole neighborhood. It's because we get lost everywhere we go. But, you know, there was that little, I know it's a kind of a silly example, but there's just, they didn't quite trust each other, right? I mean, my dad thought he knew where he was going. My mother thought he didn't know where he was going. And when she told him where to turn, he didn't trust her to go to turn there. And I'm sitting in the back. And one time we got lost in New York. Not a good spot to get lost in. But with God, we need to trust Him. We need to rely on Him. We need to not go in our own understanding. We need to, and one way to do that is, we need to pray more, and we need to read the scriptures, right? If we want to be able to trust God, if God is saying, trust me in your life and lean not on your own understanding, but my understanding, well, folks, if we do the regular things where we're only going to be in our 75 years of life at church for 10 months, that's not going to cut it, is it? We're not going to be able to learn. what God wants for us, right? And then what ends up happening is we get disappointed. Then we're like, well, I trusted God, but he didn't help me out, or now look at the trouble I'm in. But then we have to look back and say, but yeah, there's trusting, but then there's giving everything up to him. There's trusting in the Lord and leaning not on our own understanding. In all our ways, we need to acknowledge him. In all our ways. That's the way we act, the way we talk, the way we serve. Colossians chapter 3, if you have turned there, I'm going to read from the Message. I love the way it talks about this. So in the new year, as you know, as Christians, we always have this battle between the old self and the new self, right? I mean, even though we've accepted Christ into our heart and we trust him, there's always the battle between us having control and wanting to kind of go back to our old ways and our new ways. And I love the way the Message reads this. So if you have the NIV or the King James, it's not going to sound the same. But let me just read Colossians chapter 3. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle around, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. But look up. Be alert to what's going on in Christ, because that's where the action is. See things from Christ's perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though it's invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your new life. When Jesus Christ shows up again on this earth, you'll show up too, the real you, the glorious you. But until then, be content with obscurity like Christ. And go down to verse 12. Don't lie to each other. You're doing that, you've done that in your old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you've stripped off and put in the fire. Now with Christ, you've got a new wardrobe. Every item in your new wardrobe is a way of life, is custom made by the Creator with his label on it. All the old fashions are now obsolete. So, chosen by God for this new life of love and this new wardrobe, dress yourself with the following clothes God picked out for you: compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place. Be quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never leave home without it. I just love the way that he wrote that. That we have this new wardrobe, isn't it? So I think as we go on, you know, and we want to acknowledge God in all our ways, how do we do that? So often it's easy to say, I want to acknowledge God. But I think one of the practical ways I try to do things, I'm a practical kind of guy, and I try to say, okay, what is that going to look like? And I could pick from so many passages of the Bible, but I think the one that would really, for me, that really impacts it is, if we are to acknowledge God in all our ways, most of it is going to be by our actions towards others, our actions towards our people within the church, our co-workers. So could you imagine, as it says in the NIV, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and clearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Could you imagine if we just took that and in the coming year continuously prayed to God that we would have those characteristics in our lives? Compassion. Definition of compassion is a deep awareness of the suffering of others coupled with the wish to relieve it. So I think compassion is so much more than just kindness, isn't it? Or just sadness. You know, when you learn about something from that somebody's been hurt or somebody's going through a hard time, it's very easy for us to feel sad for them, right? But I think if we're honest with ourselves at times, We let Satan creep in with our attitudes and says, well, you know, they're like this because of this, or, you know, this is the consequence to their sin. And so often we kind of start judging, isn't it? But God, I mean, one of the first things he says when we clothe ourselves with love, and the first thing right after that he talks about, so how does that look? It looks like somebody who has compassion. So not only do you have a deep awareness of the suffering, but it's coupled with the wish to relieve it. And that's why there's an organization called Compassion Canada, right? The founding members of that organization had this deep compassion and hurt for the kids in India and how they were being treated, that he did something about it. So imagine that work. Imagine your family, if you know of things going on, that not only would you display love to them, but you would display a deep compassion for what they're going through, and that you'd want to be to try to help to relieve it. Kindness is a friendly, generous, or warm-hearted nature, a kind, considerate person who loves to do helpful acts. So it's funny, you have compassion, and then right after that there'd be kindness. Imagine if we were a lot kinder in 2013. What would that look like? What would our church look like if we had more compassion in 2013? If we had more kindness? If we had humility? We just finished celebrating Christmas. Christmas was a time for us to remember the birth of Jesus. And he was God. And he gave up the perfect life in heaven to come down and live and be here with us, and to eventually die for us. And yet, in Philippians, it says that he never considered himself, while he was on this earth, equal, right, to God. He humbled himself. He had humility. Having humility, I think, is a hard thing. So often, when things are going well, for us, we want to kind of, hey, you know, I was involved in that. Yeah, I was on the planning committee. I helped out with that. But then when things go bad, ooh, well, it wasn't my idea. You know, I don't think I really wanted to go with that. And yet we always want to, if we're honest, put ourselves up a bit higher. But here we're being asked to be humble, to be conscious of one's position and one's failing. So I think that's interesting, that we have to be conscious of our failings. And when we're conscious of our failings as a human being, hopefully it'll just bring us back to being relying on God, having that trust in Christ. Gentleness. Gentleness is someone who is easily managed or handled, considerate or kindly in disposition. And some of the scholars think that the easily managed or handled, they don't mean being taken advantage of, but they do mean that in your gentleness that you are teachable, that you're gentle to others, but also when God is wanting to teach you something, that is where the gentleness comes in, that we allow God to teach us, and allow God to sometimes let us go through hard things. And then when we go through these hard things, I think if we can try to be compassionate and kind and gentle and patient with others, patience, an ability or willingness to suppress restlessness or annoyance when confronted with delay. I love that. So we always think, oh, I'm patient with others, but you know, it's something that we're always working at, right? If this is the way the definition of patience is, it's the willingness to suppress the restlessness or annoyance confronted with delay. And it's quiet, steady, perseverance, even-tempered person. So I like that. So when things are going wrong, you know, are we willing to just suppress that restlessness that we have and be patient with others? But more importantly, we want to start being patient with God, right? God always answers our prayers. But as we've all know, it's not always what we want. It's yes, no, or wait. And when God says to us, wait, or trust us, are we willing to suppress that restlessness that we have? Because I think what happens is when we're not patient, then we take over, right? We're just, oh, that's it. I'm going to do it. and we take over, and we do it for, you know, the other person. If we're at work, I mean, if somebody is so slow and we're training them, I do a lot of training, and there's just times where I'm like, can I just please do it? Like, it's going to take you 2 hours. It might take me half an hour. But, you know, you have to just wait and be patient. But when we take over and then we do it, number one, if we're serving the Lord and we're teaching somebody, if we're not patient with them, they'll never learn, right? They will never learn. They'll never experience what it's like to lead a small group, what it's like to get up and sing, what it's like to do any kind of service for the Lord. And then likewise with God, God's saying, you know what? Be patient. Be patient in 2013. I have a plan for you, but I know when it's going to happen. I know you don't, but I'm just asking you to have a quiet, steady perseverance in me and to allow me to continue to rule your life. So I think if we can start with 2013 with that, with just trying to be more humble, trying to have compassion for others, when we do that, we're always relying on God. We're always going to God. We're always praying to God in order for us to get all those characteristics. And then when troubles come up, I think because we're always going to Him, things will seem less severe. I think the next thing that I would love to be able to not do as much is worry in 2013. We all worry about things, don't we? And yet, the Bible tells us to do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. So again, there's that word everything, right? We're supposed to trust God and acknowledge Him in everything. In everything, by prayer and petition, present your requests to God. And then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds. We're not to be anxious about anything or worry. Worry anxious is a state of uneasiness, apprehension about future uncertainties. And actually the word worry, the actual translation comes from it's from an old English word which means to feel strangled or seized by the throat. So that's, imagine that. That overtakes your life. When we worry about things, isn't it almost like you're feeling strangled? Or somebody's got a foothold on your life. You can't seem to get it off your mind. And one of the guys I was reading here said he had three questions. How do you know when you worry too much? Because all of us as humans have worries. And he says that's natural. But when the thing you are concerned about is the first thing you think about in the morning and the last thing you think about at night, it's consuming your life. When you find yourself thinking about it every spare moment, when you're on the bus, when you're on a break, when you're going for a walk, when you're on your lunch hour, do you think about it? And do you find yourself bringing it up, your worry, in conversation over and over and over again? That's the time when he feels that worry's overtaken your life. And what does God say about that? In Matthew chapter 5, you got the famous story where he says, don't worry about tomorrow, right? Why are you worrying about tomorrow? You know, don't worry about where your food will come from, what your clothes will be. Don't worry about anything. Well, how do you do that? How can you get to the point where you not worry? Well, I think it's when you have that complete trust in God, where you know that you don't know the answer yet, but you are willing to be assured on His strength, and that He is in control. And I think when we're able to do that, coupled with bringing it to Him in prayer, one of the things my parents really taught me well, and it's come to serve me over and over again, is whenever you start to get worried or something in your life, like, just pray about it. Just pray. Have you ever noticed that? When you spend time in prayer, just pouring it to God, sometimes you don't even need an answer, but you just get that sense of peace. It doesn't mean that the situation goes away, and I think that's what we want. When we pray to God, we want that anxiety to disappear. And in our minds, the only way for our worry or anxiety to disappear is to have the problem disappear. And that's what I think, that's our shortfall. God never says that He will take away our problems, because they're teaching. They're ways that God sometimes can teach us. But what He does say is that in any circumstance that we have, that we are not to be anxious about anything. So when I think of moving forward to 2013, of what God wants for our lives, He wants us to have a closer relationship with Him. He wants our lives to be, to exemplify His characteristics, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. This can't come from just coming to church or just going to small groups. It has to come from a willingness, from a desire to spend time with Him, you know, as much as we can. And I don't mean that we have to just have a set way of doing devotions or reading the Bible. I think sometimes Satan uses that as a ploy for us. Hey, you didn't get up in the morning and have your devotions. You're a bad person. And God's made every one of us unique, and we all have unique ways that we can spend time with God. For me, I love walking, and that is my time. Well, I really try to time for prayer. And it's hard because as I'm walking, I'll be distracted, but there are times when I really, that's where I go and I do a lot of my praying. If you're somebody who takes the bus or subway or a car, I know people at work who are Christians, and they have the Bible on CD, right? And they read the Bible too, but every spare moment they have, they put the Bible on CD. So when they got an hour subway ride going to work, rather than listening to music, reading the newspaper, why not just put the headphones on and just listen to the words of the Bible being read? I mean, it's a great way of just being able to start your day or to finish your day thinking and contemplating about God. We don't know what 2013 will bring for us, will we? And I've often thought about the characters in the Bible. You know, Mary and Joseph, they just got engaged. They can't wait for next year. Oh, 2013 is going to be great and so exciting. We're going to plan our wedding and all that. And then, boom, what do you mean I'm pregnant? You know, Joseph, what do you mean she's pregnant? How is this possible? Like, they had no idea going into 2000 or going into the next year what was going to happen. Moses, right? Do you think Moses had any idea when they celebrated the new year and going in that God would confront him in a burning bush and tell him that he's got to go back and lead the children of Israel out? What about the disciples? You know, the disciples started the new year, they're out fishing, they're thinking of their business, and yet God came and told them and said to follow me. But in every one of those examples, we do know one thing, that they were people that were seeking after God. So if we really want to be used by God in the 2013, we need to be in His Word. We need to be aware. We need to be looking to God to see what He can do for us in this next year. And I think, you know, for as a church, I mean, well, obviously 2013 was, or 2012 was one of those interesting years, wasn't it? When we had our celebration at the end of 2011, I don't think any of us would have thought that one out of our three staff members would still be here, right? Would be the only one here. I don't think we ever would have thought of that Roseanne, who's been, you know, so integral to us in leading the worship on Sundays, would not be here going into 2013. So there's a lot of surprises, isn't it, that happened. But I think as a church, we need to trust. We need to know that God has a plan for Bridletown in 2013 as a body. We need to know that none of this took God by surprise. God wasn't all of a sudden like, oh my goodness, Trevor's, you know, going to be leaving Bridletown. No, He knew long ago. And He's preparing already other people who will be coming and leading in the new year. We're going to have a search committee set up to look for a new pastor. And as a church, those that have been with Bridletown for a long time, we've gone through this before. But we need to have that assurance. We need to have the reliance on God to know that He is in control. If we turn to Ephesians chapter 3, it's a famous verse that has been read an awful lot. It says in verse 14, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of your glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Christ loves us, both individually and as a church. He loves us. And to know that his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations. Let's go into 2013 expecting God to do immeasurably more than what we can imagine. As a church, we would love to have a bigger Sunday school. We'd love to have, obviously, more people attending. We'd love to have a pastor, wouldn't we? Let's pray for that. Let us continue to go to him in prayer. Let us trust him. And I'm hoping that God will show us his power and that he'll do immeasurably more. I mean, have you ever had that happen where you want something and you're just blown away by what has happened? That is what God, I think, wants for us. And so as a church or as an individual, let's go into 2013 striving to trust God more, to live a life that is filled by the fruit of the Spirit, and to be waiting for him to do immeasurably more than what we can even imagine. And I think that will be an amazing and exciting year. And then at the end of next year, we could just look back and say, wow, God did amazing things for me, and God did amazing things for us at Bridletown. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you that you are in control and that nothing takes you by surprise. And I thank you for the opportunity we had this morning of just looking into your word. And as we come to this time of year and look forward and in the hope of the new year and all the things that are going to happen, Lord, I just pray that we would be willing to wholeheartedly trust in you, that we would be willing to, with all of our mind and soul and heart, long for you and trust you. I pray, Lord, that we would be people and a church that is actively praying to you, reading your word, wanting to grow, and Lord, that we would be expecting you to do immeasurably more than what we could imagine in 2013. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.